He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday edition, the 4/15 tax day edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I think we'll have Barry in the first quarter. I don't know. I can't remember. He may be headed to Florida. I'm headed down there a little bit later today. We've got a up day in the market. I would just say that it could be a lot worse, but we'll talk about that in a bit. The Dow is up 292 after last week's big flight to safety, and the Dow is at 38,275. The NASDAQ is up 97 to 16,272. The S&P is up 38 to 5,161. The small caps are up 0.5% as we got a little bit of risk on appetite again in the market after last week's flight to safety. Crude oil down 97 cents, 84.69. Gold is also calm today, down $9 per ounce at 2,365. Silver's up 32 cents, however, to 28.65. I'm surprised by the big move in the bond market. It's up 12 basis points to 4.62, but I'm thinking that last week's flight to safety into the bond market may be over for now. And then Bitcoin, with that halving event coming up this week, is up 1,900 to 66,000. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm not sure, do we have Barry today? No? Okay. All right. So I think Barry is headed to Florida. We'll be meeting with folks tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm headed down a little bit later today and really looking forward to getting back to Sarasota. Well, okay, let's pick up where we left off on Friday because it's been a very eventful weekend that has major ramifications on the stock market, okay? I mean, geopolitical events have a massive implication on the stock market, on commodities, etc., on world economies. And what we witnessed over the weekend is unprecedented. But here's where we left off in the market on Friday, all right? The Dow was down, let's see, I think 400 points. Let me get those numbers up here, 430 points, something like that, as oil was pushing up against $87 per barrel. Gold was hitting a new all-time high. You had also the bond market, big recipient on the receiving end of incoming for in the flight to safety. The Dow is down 476 on Friday. It had a pretty rough week for the Dow. You know, the big worry obviously was Friday that a strike was imminent, probably more than likely over the weekend from Iran against Israel. And it certainly did happen. I spent a long day on Saturday doing the newsletter, getting some yard work done before going down to Florida. I said, you know, I'm going to just take a break here this afternoon, watch, get caught up on baseball, the Masters, etc., around 5 o'clock Eastern time here in Charleston. And I turned on the TV, and lo and behold, there it was. They had announced that the drones, the cruise missiles, the ballistic missiles had been launched towards Israel. And we did not really know what the results would be. And surprisingly, 99% of the drones, remember, we're talking over 300 launched at Israel from Iran. This has never happened before. It could have been a lot worse. Let's just put it that way. Luckily, 99% were shot down, and the few that did get through the Iron Dome, only one person was injured, which is miraculous, in my opinion. It's miraculous. We would be looking at a different world, different economy, different market, etc. Had something made its way through and done some major damage in, for, let's say, Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv, etc. The situation is far from over, all right? I mean, you've still got Hamas down there in southern Gaza. You still have Hezbollah up to the north in Lebanon. That's two fronts. You've still got the Houthi rebels in the Red Sea. That's three fronts over in Yemen. And now you've got a fourth front that has opened up in Iran itself. Now, Iran obviously intended to inflict great harm on Israel. I mean, that wasn't those drones were loaded with TNT-like materials that could have caused extensive damage, loss of life, etc. In the end, I mean, technology is going to probably get the credit. The Iron Dome. What makes it different from other people's technology around the world? You know what it comes down to, believe it or not? Semiconductors and chips. You know, the hardware is one thing, but the software and the brains inside those chips makes all the difference. And that's why you saw, you know, zero for 350 shots get through. Maybe one or two got through, but the rest were shot down. And superior technology. Now, who allowed that superior technology to be developed? You know, you could make a lot of arguments about that. But all of this came into play over the weekend. And here we are on Monday with a new day and the market breathing a big sigh of relief. Well, last week was the worst weekly performance since October. Sticky inflation, okay, you've got the 10-year up 12 basis points today. It's not all the selling of bonds, moving out of the safety of bonds and back into risk on assets. Part of that is still fear of sticky inflation. And we've had some warnings from some pretty smart people, such as Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan. Some of the Fed governors, like Kashkari, that, you know, the inflation fight is still not over. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Jerome Powell, the market blasted off when he said we're still on track for three rate cuts this year. Now we're hearing more like maybe no rate cuts. That was from Kashkari. Bostic on Friday said one rate cut. We've heard others saying maybe two, but I think maybe Jerome Powell got ahead of himself in not promising but indicating that the Fed was on a course of three rate cuts this year, and that obviously is being debated. It will continue to be debated. It is a big part of the market. Will continue to be a part of the daily action in the market. In addition to this, we're now in earnings season. It opened last week, and a lot of these companies, as they report, there will be a lot of listening and the ears turned toward that word inflation and what these companies have to say about what they're seeing in the world. Boots on the ground. So that's in play this week. Israel's next move is in play this week. And earnings, obviously, are in play big time this week. The financials really had a bad week last week. They were down 3.6%. I think it's pretty much interest rates. And I don't think that the earnings coming in from the big banks were all that great. They were good. They were okay. I mean, but there's really not a lot of growth there in that banking sector. The healthcare stocks came under fire last week. The United Healthcare thing is very worrisome. You know, there's your biggest company, a Dow company that has all kinds of problems. The hacking, the lowered reimbursements from Medicare, Medicaid, and the CEOs under, or the brass under investigation for insider selling, etc. And the REITs absolutely got pummeled last week, and I think that, I continue to think that's one of the worst places you can be parked in the market right now. Well, okay, what do we have to look forward this week? Who's reporting earnings? And let's do a little update on the earnings season, which is now well underway. We've got 44 S&P 500 companies reporting this week. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has definitely backed off from its open here today. It's still up. The Dow is up 193. The Nasdaq's only up 34, however, right now. And I think a lot of it is, you know, obviously the situation in the Middle East is far from over. And what's the next shoe to drop, I guess, would be the biggest worries. Okay, now we'll go to earnings season. We are in the midst of earnings season. So far, we have had 6% of the S&P 500, so 30 companies have reported earnings so far. Very small sampling. 83% of the companies have reported a positive earnings surprise, and 53% have reported a positive revenue surprise. But once again, a very small sample. Now, what I did notice was that last week we were expecting earnings to jump this quarter about 3.2% over the previous quarter. Not the previous quarter, but the same comparable quarter from last year. And after those results that we got in on Friday, and last week, now we're only looking for about a 1% growth in earnings. But the companies that have reported so far, they're not going to move the needle that much. The financials and the banks. It's when you get around to the tech stocks, the NVIDIAs of the world, where you see that needle move. But so far, with the big financials, some of them reporting, it's been a slow start to earnings season, and I remember last earnings season was pretty similar. Okay, it started off real slow, and then instead of fizzling out altogether, it kind of really finished strong and actually beating the forecast. And the forecast just kept rising as more companies reported. 44 companies will report this week. The forward PE of the market has dropped down to the 20.7 area. It was pushing 23. The biggest reason it has dropped down to the 20.7 area, however, is because we've pushed everything ahead one quarter. So now we're looking at earnings estimates over the next four quarters. We've already priced in the last quarter of last year and probably the first quarter of this year. And so the E is actually a little bit higher than it was when we moved everything ahead one quarter. We're at 20.7 right now, 20.3 actually. I got 20.3 after all of those earnings. Where should that be? Well, you know, I mean, Jeremy Siegel says we should be at 20 times earnings, okay, and that's what he's using for his target prices going forward. I think with interest rates rising back up to 4.62, I think we belong more in the 19 area. We'll see what the market, the market is the ultimate decider of that debate. Okay, now this week, last week we got J.P. Morgan, we got Citigroup, We got Wells Fargo. And like I say, those aren't companies that really move the needle. This week, we're going to start to get some companies, reports, that will move the needle. We're going to get Bank of America. Okay, they're not going to move the needle much. They're one of the few bank stocks that don't report on that first week of the earnings season. We're going to get Johnson & Johnson. I don't expect much there. Johnson & Johnson has another problem, in fact. Johnson & Johnson's having some issues with a cough medicine in South Africa and another country that is not a good situation. Netflix will report this week. That's a pretty big one. I mean, Netflix usually moves the market. It is still part of FANG, and it's always kind of a crapshoot as to where those are. Very unpredictable as far as the live streaming comes in, and this, or the streamers, not live streaming, but the streaming of movies, etc. Taiwan Semiconductor will report this week. That's a big report. They make most of the chips in the world. Procter & Gamble will report. Not a big one. I mean, it is a big one, but it's not going to move the market much. It is a member of the Dow, the Pride of Cincinnati. We'll see how they report. That's the leading consumer staple. United Healthcare, which has been under all kinds of problems, issues recently, hitting new lows, one of the worst stock charts. I would compare United Healthcare with the chart of Boeing. And those two have really been weighing on the Dow. In fact, as we closed the week on Friday, and I looked at the chart of the Dow's holding its support line. The Dow is one of those that was going up, 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 up for several months. Then it started to level off. It was the first index to start leveling off. And I think, you know, Boeing and United Healthcare are weighing heavily on the Dow. And then it started to roll over last week. Now, it's holding its support level. In the newsletter, I indicated some very important support levels that the Dow needs to hold. But if it were to break those support levels, you could see a pretty healthy correction in the Dow. And obviously, the inverse Dow, DOG, and DXD, and SDAO. SDAO is three times inverse the Dow. Kinder Morgan will report this week. ASM, that's a very important one. That is one of the big five, I would say, as it relates to AI, as they make the equipment that enables the NVIDIA chips to be made. ASM Lithography will report. They're out of the Netherlands. Goldman Sachs reported this morning. We'll go over that. Blackstone will report. Abbott Labs, Morgan Stanley, American Express, an important one in the Dow, Schlumberger, Intuitive Surgical, Crown Castle, United Airlines, U.S. Bancorp, Alcoa, and Prologis. So I'm going to say the two big ones for this week are going to be ASML, which is on Wednesday, and I'm going to say the other one is Netflix on Thursday. And then and let's call Taiwan Semiconductor also a very important one that we'll report. And then, of course, next week the pace starts to really pick up as instead of 44, we'll probably get somewhere in the neighborhood of 100. More bad news for Tesla. And, of course, the stock, you know, when you have a big layoff, sometimes that helps the stock. Because you figure, well, they're staying on top of their earnings, but they have a 10% worldwide layoff taking place of its global workforce, showing you once again the weakening demand, for EVs, and the increased competition. I would also say from those Chinese EVs. So 10% layoff, and they slashed the price of their self-driving package from $199 a month to just $99 per month. So Musk doing what he has to do as a CEO to keep costs in line. Okay, when we come back, a little bit on Boeing, China, copper? Is China's economy coming back?
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. After quite a wild weekend in geopolitics around the world, and of course the world waits and wonders what will be the next shoe to drop. The People's Bank of China keeps 1 year medium term lending facility rate steady at 2.5% to aid the economic recovery. So they're keeping rates low, okay? They're trying to juice their economy. I think the jury is out. But having said that, maybe something is going on in China. Copper surges to a 22-month high. Now, copper is an indicator of economic action. Gold is more about geopolitics, the currency, fear, etc. Copper, not at all. Copper is much more linked to an increasing economy. Iron ore was up 13% last week also. So there is something to China economy starting to kick in, which would be a good thing if it can follow through. The chart of China is not all that great. It looks kind of like it's optimistic, and maybe it will break out to the upside eventually, but it's still in a major sideways trend after a little sign of life here recently. So we'll just, I think the jury is still out, but it leans toward activity picking up in China. Atlanta Fed's Bostic still sees one rate cut this year. Okay, so there's your big question. Zero rate cuts, one rate cut, two rate cuts. The most optimistic would be three rate cuts before the end of the year. The Bitcoin halving event will be a major focus in the cryptocurrency world this week. The halving event will reduce the rate at which new Bitcoins are created by cutting the reward to so-called miners who maintain the Bitcoin network. And there's been a lot of volatility around Bitcoin here recently, but it's also the biggest winner in the market so far this year. But boy, it's volatile, and it's very difficult to predict. But most think that this halving event will be bullish for Bitcoin. And as we look at Bitcoin right now, Bitcoin is up, let's see, we got Bitcoin up $1,900, 66,000. And it recently was approaching 74,000. So if you bought it at 74,000, you're down quite a bit. If you bought it below 65,000, you're up. And that's how Bitcoin is reacting today. Apple loses their top smartphone maker crown to Samsung. Well, this should come as no surprise. Samsung has passed Apple in mobile phone sales. Apple stock had a pretty good day last Thursday it was. That was after the PPI report. But it's down 1.1% today. Apple's big problem is growth, or lack thereof. Their last four quarters read like this. Sales down 3%. Sales down 1%, sales down 1%, sales up 2%. So you can see that over the past year, their sales have been basically flat. Flat sales, the only way you can grow earnings in a flat sales environment is by cutting cost. And that's kind of what they've been doing, but not fast enough. They're looking for maybe 7%. I think that's pretty optimistic. Growth this year and over the next 5 years, it's now become a single-digit grower. And that's why everybody keeps looking for, well, what is Apple's, what does Apple have up its sleeve? Well, it's not the car anymore. It's not the Apple car. It seems to be, I mean, the last thing we heard was robots, personal robots. But in the meantime, the stock continues to struggle, and it's hard to make a case for Apple without growth. Gold is upgraded at Goldman Sachs among geopolitical risks. In my opinion, I think gold is overbought myself. Gold went on a little streak there, the best streak it's had in a long time. Over the last 12 years, gold has, or over the last decade, gold has averaged 5.5% per year. That's what it's returned. Now, in the most recent 5 years, it's done better than that because that includes this year, which gold has had a pretty good year. I think gold's up 13% since the beginning of the year. But gold broke out in late February, early March, I think mostly on, well, you have the Chinese Central Bank buying for 17 months in a row, and then, of course, you have some very hot geopolitics in the Middle East. In a lot of exchanges, I read that the defense, Iran shot $1.5 billion was the cost of the missiles, the defense system, getting all those planes in the air, about $1.5 billion burnt up. On Sunday, was it Sunday morning? Well, it happened at midnight in Israel, so I guess it was Sunday morning. I think gold is a little overbought here myself, and I'm not so sure I'd be a buyer of gold. Oil forecast to rise in the short term after Iran's attack on Israel. We're not seeing it today. We're seeing that war premium coming out of oil. I also think that the oil stocks are a little bit overbought. Biggest loser today, one of the biggest losers, is Trump stock, DJT, former President Donald Trump. He's taken it on the chin with his stock holdings. Why? Well, the company doesn't have any sales, hardly any sales. There's no earnings. It has Trump's name. It hit $80 a share. And that was 3 weeks ago, and now it's $27 per share. So if you do the math, it's lost about 35% of its value. They're going to float more shares, and they're going to float more warrants out there. Trump owns about 58% of the outstanding shares. And you say, well, why didn't Trump sell at 80? He has restricted stock as a majority shareholder like that and owning private stock. His stock is probably restricted for at least 90 days from the IPO. The IPO is still within that, I think, that 90-day period when they can't sell. And I think the stock's going to really get hit when those restrictions come off of that stock. Semiconductors likely to offer up muted earnings season, says Citigroup. Well, we'll see. Let's check in on NVIDIA today. As NVIDIA goes, so goes the NASDAQ. NVIDIA has leveled off into a sideways trend. It was threatening to roll over, and then it got a pretty good day last Thursday, a little sell-off on Friday. Today it's up 1.1%. The semiconductor sector, SMH, has leveled off big time. It's up a little less than 1%. And the one that this seems to be, well, obviously Intel is the one that's just under severe pressure. It looks horrible, and it's dragging down the rest of the semiconductor sector. The one that looks the most vulnerable to me, but it's barely hanging on to support right now, is AMD. AMD's corrected by about 27-28%. It hit 227 not that long ago, and now it's at 162. So that's a pretty steep sell-off. About 23%, I think, was the math on AMD's correction. So we'll see. I mean, the semiconductors have been driving the market forward and have been a big driver of the NASDAQ. Can they continue to prop up the NASDAQ? The software stocks continue to be pretty weak right now, so it's really up to the semiconductors once again to come in with some big earnings. And just speaking of the semiconductors, you know, that technology is very, very important. As we saw, it could come down to the chips involved in the weapon systems that either saves. What if 100 of those drones or ballistic missiles would have gotten through that Iron Dome? We'd have a whole different world right now. And will they eventually catch up with the technology over there in Iran and Russia? We'll be right back. But I must choose the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a right place. You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And, well, we had a pretty good open to the market. It has faded somewhat. The Dow's up 100 still, however. The NASDAQ's up just 15, obviously, after a very, very cautious week last week. And the initial reaction to the market today was, wow, it could have been a lot worse over the weekend. I think maybe the market is grappling with a little bit of reality here today that the situation is far from being over in the Middle East. And here's the biggest stinker of all is the 10-year bond, 4.62. It's up 12 basis points. That's not good for the economy. That's not good for the markets. It compresses the multiple on the markets, and it brings bond prices down. So not good. The 12 basis point increase today in the 10-year. Okay, well, I want to mention one more macro call here, and then we'll dig into the market a little bit underneath the surface. Fundstrat's Tom Lee, who is always bullish pretty much, and he's probably one of the most optimistic guys out there, but I think there's not enough realism, real world in his optimistic forecast. He's got a target. He says the S&P 500 could potentially end the year at 5,700. Well, I mean, you'd have to have big upside to the current earnings estimates for the S&P 500, which I don't really see. And you'd have to maintain a multiple somewhere in the 21 to 22 area to get up to what he's talking about. I don't see where the math works out at all for that forecast, but it's one more out there from a guy who gets a lot of airtime on CNBC. All right, now let's look underneath the surface of today's market. Let's first turn to the Dow, see what is moving the Dow. It's up 100 points. But the bigger question is, what's driving it? The biggest winner in the Dow today, Goldman Sachs. How about that? I can't remember saying Goldman Sachs is the biggest winner in the Dow for quite some time, but they did have a pretty good earnings report today, probably the best earnings report of the big money center banks. Goldman Sachs is up 3.5% today. Intel, wow, Intel's been under heavy pressure. The foundry business is just kind of slugging along. It is up after breaking down big time, did Intel. I mean, it broke 40, and it just, woo, it didn't take long to get to 35. It is up 1% today, Intel is. 2%, actually 2%. Nike's up 1.3. J.P. Morgan's up 1.1. On the downside, okay, and you might ask, why is Salesforce breaking down big time? Down 5.7% today. Not only did its uptrend halt about 2 months ago, and not only has it been going sideways at the top in a severe topping pattern, now it's rolling over into a number four downtrend. But the catalyst today is they announced, I don't know how far along they are in the process, but buying Informatica, INFA, which is down 6.8%. It's obviously that the street does not like this deal, and the biggest loser by far. That's a big drag on the Dow. Salesforce down 5.8%. As we look at the S&P 500, the winners are, well, Schwab. Hey, we clear through Schwab. I saw that Schwab's assets under management are up 20% year over year. Well, that's because they purchased Ameritrade. I was in part of that, being using Ameritrade as my custodian. Now, I had no choice. I mean, Schwab is now my custodian. But they picked up a lot of AUM, assets under management, by buying Ameritrade. That stock, Schwab, is up 3.7% today. So that's helping the financials out a little bit. Goldman Sachs, big mover in the S&P 500, it's up 3.3%. Super Micro Computer is up 2% in the S&P. Applied Materials up 1.8, Hilton up 1.6, but a pretty muted day today so far after the eventful weekend. On the downside, more software stocks. ServiceNow down 1.8%. They're starting to roll over. I mean, they're the two most important drivers of the tech sector. NASDAQ are the software sector and the chip sector. And then some consumer stocks are down, like Macy's, Gap Stores, American Eagle. They don't look good either. They look to me like they were rolling over. That's the consumer discretionary, Abercrombie and Fitch. They don't look very good. Okay, the NASDAQ, which is up a little bit today, it's being hurt by Tesla. Which, I mean, you know, Cathie Wood basically is pretty dependent upon Tesla and a few other stocks, bringing her back, her fund back. Tesla's down another 3.2% today. Not a good chart at all on Tesla. And just from my perspective, I saw the worm start to turn when he bought and made the bid for X, formerly Twitter, and I think it's kind of been all downhill. And then, of course, the EVs under pressure, the Chinese competition coming in, much more competitive market, and the appetite apparently for EVs just is not what it was. And the biggest winner in the NASDAQ right now, not much of one, but you've got, let's see, the NASDAQ biggest winner right now is, I got to get to that, there it is, Intel, up 2.2, Applied Materials up 1.7. So very muted response in the market today. We started off good, we're kind of giving it up a little bit now. All right, well, we'll be in Sarasota. I'll be broadcasting from Sarasota tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. There may be some open spots. You can call Edie at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. There was a lot in it this past weekend at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.